Baseball fans, welcome to Try Easier, the baseball podcast hosted by Twitter's one and only, at Blue Jays Dad. For years, Blue Jays Dad has been a mainstay in the baseball Twitterverse.
Live tweeting and hot taking
the ups and downs of Canada's team, while remaining engaging and, for the most part, friendly to fans of the opposition. The jump from the tweeted word to the spoken word is a courageous leap baseball's internet dad is willing to take for the good of the game. And now, the host of the Try Easier podcast, Blue Jays Dad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Try Easier podcast. I'm at Blue Jays Dad, coming off a four-game series at Target Field. My family, we estimated that we spent about 28 hours over 4 days at in and around Target Field, the Major League Ballpark. And the Blue Jays split the series. I took the blame for the first two, and that means I get the credit for the second two. My toque hat combo paid off wearing that yesterday. In the second game, the second win yesterday, I wore it in 80 Fahrenheit weather, right in the sun the whole time. And needless to say, my lower back was very sweaty. Anyway, today we are going to talk about the exciting series that we have going on between the New York Yankees and the Blue Jays, beginning in Toronto tomorrow night. Three-game set with the wild card race as hot as it has been. And I have a special guest with me today coming from a Yankees perspective. I have Emily Nyman. She is the host of the Breaking Balls podcast that you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. She's also the self-proclaimed Alex Rodriguez historian. And one, I just admire Emily for lots of reasons. One of them is because I wish I could tweet as well as she does, and her humor is off the charts. Emily, thank you for joining me once again on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, that was probably the best intro anyone's ever given me as a guest on their podcast. That was awesome. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what, you deserve it. And you're one of my favorite Twitter accounts, even though you represent the Yankees. But that's why you're on the show right now, is because we Blue Jay fans want to hear, or maybe we don't want to hear, about the momentum, the positive momentum that the Yankees have been experiencing. We were hoping, we were cheering for the Boston Red Sox to sweep this past weekend series, while we swept the Twins in Target Field. Neither of those things happened. Quite the opposite, at least on your end. And tell us, what happened this weekend? Why, besides Joe West, why did the Yankees sweep the Red Sox?
You know, I mean, the Yankees beat the Red Sox because their lineup did what it's been supposed to do and what it's done in past years, but has struggled to do consistently this year. So this lineup is dangerous, and everyone in the league and especially in the division knows it. But this year it's been a little anemic, and they've had their ups and downs, and that's been the difference really between the team being the, you know, a clear division winner like people were predicting, and now the spot that they're in. So everything was just clicking for the offense, and I mean, that's putting it lightly.
Well, I remember the last time I had you on the show that you were very favorable towards the Blue Jays, and you thought that maybe they'd be the sleeper in the American League East. Right now, there's three of us going for the wild card from the American League East, plus the Mariners, and I guess the A's, if they're, you know, they can squeak in there somehow. I haven't done the math on it, so I don't. Actually, you know, I did see they are not officially eliminated yet, but time is running out for all of us.
Yeah, I think they're like three games out.
Yes, yes. And I did notice that actually on MLB's wild card standings, they do have wild card elimination numbers. And Oakland's at 4, and Seattle's at 5, Toronto's at 6. So anyway, yeah, tell us what happened yesterday. So all I know about yesterday's game is mainly from your tweets. And Joe West, I saw the one pitch track game day strike that he called a ball that apparently was a game changer. Can you just run us through that a little bit, what happened yesterday?
Well, he had quite a few game changers. He was, I think the worst that he missed was once on DJ LeMahieu and once on Kike Hernandez, both about 2.5 to 3 inches off the plate. He called strike three on both of them. So he was not having the best night leading up to the eighth inning. Now, in the eighth inning, DJ LeMahieu walked. Anthony Rizzo hit a double, so they were in scoring position. Aaron Judge is up to the plate. He gets two strikes on him. I can't remember how many balls exactly, but he swings through a pitch, and it looks like he strikes out. Then they motion that he foul tipped it. And in real time, it looked as if Christian Vasquez, who was catching for the Red Sox, it looked as if he bobbled the third strike. So that's the call that Joe West gives, that it was a drop third strike, or a drop foul tip, rather, on the third strike. So Judge gets another chance in the box. Upon review, it was dropped in the transfer that Vasquez caught the ball, and then as he was transferring it to his throwing hand to throw it back to the pitcher, he dropped it. So it should have been strike three, but as Yankees radio announcer John Sterling would say to his co-host, that's baseball, Susan. So Aaron Judge stayed in the box, and on the very next pitch, Adam Ottavino, former Yankee, threw a meatball, 97 miles per hour over the center of the plate that Judge hit into the gap between the left field and the center fielders, and it scored two runs to tie the game. And then, of course, Stanton got up right after that and hit a ball to Mars for the third night in a row.
Wow, unbelievable. When does Joe West retire?
This year, actually. This year. So I was complaining about him all game, and then when that happened in the eighth inning, I was like, you know what? Apropos of nothing, I suddenly love Joe West, and I think that he should stay on for maybe another year.
Well, so the tide is turning here, possibly in the wild card race. What are you looking at right now? What do you think this series versus the Jays? Tomorrow night, the Blue Jays are sending Ryu to the mound. Who are the Yankees sending, and what do you think about game one and the three-game set?
I believe Tyone is the probable for tomorrow, and this is an interesting choice, and I get why they're doing it, because they have to, you know, keep their rotation, their days of rest for guys like Cole and Kluber, but Tyone hasn't pitched in a few weeks. He had a bit of an ankle injury, so this is his first start back, and that makes me a little nervous, especially given how potent the Blue Jays lineup is, but he's been pretty solid all year. If Trey Mancini wasn't the clear favorite for comeback player of the year, Tyone might have a case. But he's not, because Mancini's going to win it by a mile, and he should. But as far as the rest of the series is concerned, you know, I think it's really going to come down to our pitching. I think that both of these lineups can do a lot of damage. And both of these lineups are very, very good, tops in the league when they're on, and they will hit any mistakes. So there's very, very little room for mistakes. So I have to say that I am very glad to see Gerrit Cole in the mix in this three-game set, because that makes me feel a lot better.
Well, our starting pitcher for game one as well is coming off injury, and Ryu's been rocked recently. So this is actually causing me great concern, especially seeing that Stanton, I know you have a lot of tweets about, you know, haters back off towards him. But he is, I don't have the stats in front of me. Just memory is that it's like nothing. He can slug balls out of the Rogers Center. Is that in your memory as well?
I'm sorry. You said that Giancarlo Stanton can hit balls out of the Rogers Center?
Yeah. Like it's nothing.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've watched a lot of baseball in my day, a lot. And I'm still, and I watch him every single day, and I have for the last three years, and I still don't understand. I can't wrap my brain around his strength, that I've never seen a player, and I watch, you know, I'm old, so I've watched Barry Bonds, and I watched all the guys in the early 2000s, and I've seen some really historic home run hitters, prolific hitters. I've never seen a hitter miss and still put a ball out of a ballpark, still hit it opposite field home run. That his home run on Friday night with the Red Sox, and Red Sox right field down the line is short, but as Blue Jay fans know, that from that, whatever it is, I think it's like 220 or something on the pole, it then juts out to that 420 in dead center. So the right field is deep, and he missed the ball and still put that ball into the seat. So, yes, to say he's dangerous is an understatement, and I am looking forward to seeing him against Ryu since he's a lefty, because he obviously does a lot of damage against lefties.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, I'm going to
And Robbie Ray.
Okay. Well, yeah, now things are getting serious. I'll say this. So I was at the last four games at Target Field with the Blue Jays, and we had very good seats for each of the games. And I could see the Blue Jays ran into a lot of bad luck with their hits. Also, probably over anxious, swinging out of the zone a little bit, maybe a little bit overconfident to what, you know, needed to be done at Target Field. But I am predicting that the batters are going to break out this series against the bats are going to break out against the Yankees this series. So beware, Emily. Also, I want to ask you this question. So we got three games and that we both need to win and we can't both win. Okay. So good luck to both of us. Better luck towards the Blue Jays. How do you see the rest of the season shaping up? Because we got three against the Orioles to end the season. You have three against the Rays, who by then, you know, they've already clinched, but, you know, I think are they at 97 wins? They might be trying to go for 100. How do you think all of this shapes up by the end? Who are the two wild card teams?
You know, because the Boston has a lighter schedule too. They play the O's and then they play the Nats. So the Yankees really get the crap end of the stick here because they have such a much tougher schedule, in my opinion, leading out. But I think it's going to be Yankees Blue Jays. I think the Yankees are going to do well in the series against the Blue Jays, and I think that they're going to get as many games are needed come this weekend series. I especially hope it's Saturday's game because I'm going to be in the house for that game, my last game of the season.
Awesome.
So, hopefully they get a W, but I really do feel that the Blue Jays, and maybe that's impossible since they play each other this series, but we'll see. I think that those are the two teams that deserve it, and this isn't because I hate Boston because of the bitter rivalry, but I really do feel that there's more talent spread around on the Yankees and on the Blue Jays than there are on Boston. So I think that our two teams are more deserving of it, but baseball doesn't care about who's more deserving, right? It's all about who comes out on top at the end. But that's who I think should be in it and will be in it.
Well, I like the way that you think. I'll be crunching all the data, you know, just to figure out if this is mathematically possible. Now, obviously it is possible in probably, anyway, but I know you got to get going because you have your own podcast to do and to talk about and produce and all that. And I just thank you for the time that you've given me so generously. I got two quick questions for you to end. Two quick questions.
Sure.
Number one, will the Yankees pursue Marcus Semien as a free agent?
Ooh. You know, how old is he? Is he 30 yet?
I could have my statistician here.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I don't have that.
He's 31.
Okay.
You know what? They might. I mean, Semien is obviously, as you know, having an insane year. So he couldn't possibly play better, knowing that he's can be a free agent again. But I don't see him being able to command as much as someone like Correa, who's also having an insane year, but is 5 years younger. So it's very Yankee for them to go after an older player who still has higher value because they feel that they can get a shorter deal. Or I wouldn't be surprised. I think that they're probably going to end up getting someone like Trevor Story just because of Cole's contract, and they're going to extend Judge. So it wouldn't shock me if they went after Semien, but I still feel like they're going to get someone like Story, even though I desperately want Carlos Correa.
So do I. But we have Bo Bichette, and that is why it looks like Semien's not a match for the Blue Jays unless they, like, you know, way overpaid over everybody else. But anyway, so I wanted to hear your take on that. And then one more question. Kevin Kiermaier stealing the Blue Jays, Kirk's card with all the pitcher approaches to raise hitters. You saw that happen. And then they plunked Kiermaier in the back, his last at bat of the series. And he said that was, a cheap move or a low move or something. What do you think about him stealing the card? And what do you think about plunking him in the back?
Now, Kiermaier getting, now let me preface this with, I hate Kevin Kiermaier. He is like one of my least favorite players in the league. With that being said, I don't like the retaliation, and this is not just when the Blue Jays do it, any team. I don't really like players getting beaned for things because it seems a little bit like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. But that being said, it was very predictable. I didn't think that it was that crazy because of Baseball's history of self-policing. So while I do think it was, I mean, Blue Jays were losing 7-1 at the time, and it was late in the game. So that makes it a little bit better to me. Personally, I didn't like it just because Blue Jays are a very young team at their core, and they have a task at hand. They have a goal that is very urgent at this point in time. So I thought it was a little bit of a distraction to even give it that much more of a thought with the Rays. And I thought it was a little immature considering that they have to go for this wild card and they're trying to focus, but I didn't think it was crazy. And as far as Kiermaier is concerned, at first I hated it because anytime anything happens on a field, I always think about what I would do as a player. And personally, in my opinion, I wouldn't have kept it. I would have given it up. But on the other hand, If a pitcher is tipping his pitches, there's no unwritten rule or anything that says that the other team can't use that to their advantage. So in my opinion, this was almost an offshoot of that. That instead of the pitcher tipping the pitches, the catcher tipped the pitches by leaving the card on in the dirt. You know what I mean?
He tipped over the pitches, and the pitches spilled everywhere. Yes.
Yeah, so, I've never seen something like that happen before, and I don't think anyone else has. So it was one of those situations that you can't even really prepare for. It was just an unfortunate series of events that led to that coming off his armband. But, you know, I don't think every player in the league handles it like Kiermaier did, but I also don't think he's the only player in the league that would handle it that way. So I think that in baseball, part of the game that has been a tenant of the game for as long as anyone can remember is every team is always trying to gain an edge because the talent disparity and the disparity between good teams and bad teams is so razor thin that anything can put a team over the top. I think that with that in mind, it's not crazy for him to have kept that card. I understand why he did it. I disagree personally as a player in my own right, but I'm not a professional athlete who has millions of dollars on the line. So who am I to say? So at the end of the day, I don't think either team did the wrong thing. I think that both handled the situation as competitors should.
Well, I respect your perspective, Emily. Thank you so much for joining me today, and really good luck on Saturday. I hope you have a fantastic time at the ballpark. I hope it's a big game, a great game for you, because there's nothing like being in the atmosphere of Major League Baseball and your favorite team. Am I right?
You are absolutely right about that. Thank you so much. And this is awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And good luck this series.
All right. And bad luck to you. All right. So we'll have a great week. Fun wild card pennant race going on. Thank you, Emily. Have a great night.
You too.
Well, Emily is always a treat to have on this podcast. So great. So yes, Blue Jays fans, baseball fans, we are in the heat of the wild card race. We have the Blue Jays have 3 games left, 3 against the Yankees beginning Tuesday night in Toronto, and 3 against the Baltimore Orioles also in the 6. So what do you think? I think the Jays got this. As I mentioned earlier, I was at Target Field this weekend, and it was the toque and the hat combo that I think brought the winning momentum to the Blue Jays as they dropped the first 2, won the second 2 when I was wearing the toque hat combo. So I'm pumped about that. I want to say as I was talking to Emily at the end there, that there is no atmosphere like Major League Baseball when your favorite team is playing. It is just the best. And I don't know if you followed my tweets, but you can follow the hashtag Blue Jays Dad Goes Wild card race. And you can see my tweets. Our family had a fantastic time. Even the two games that we lost, we had great seats, great atmosphere. Even we got to see Justin Morneau's Hall of Fame, Minnesota Twins Hall of Fame induction. And all these old former Minnesota Twins players were there. Someone who lives in my neighborhood, Kent Herbeck, he was there. Someone I hung out with a lot this past summer, Tony Oliva, he was there. And also guys like Gary Gaetti and Bert Blyleven and Johan Santana. He had the biggest reception, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. And Justin Morneau mentioned him in his speech, saying that he thinks Johan should be in the Hall of Fame, not just the Minnesota Twins Hall of Fame, but, you know, the National Hall of Fame. And Justin Morneau telling some great stories. People were feeling like this speech was going on a bit long because the game was supposed to start at 6:10 p.m. Central. It never got started till about 7:04, so almost an hour late. But who knows what the Twins were planning or, you know, whatever. But anyway, so people around me were going like, oh, this is going long, this is going long. I actually found it interesting, even though I was doubting whether baseball was going to be played or not that night. But I thought Justin Morneau gave a great speech, and he told a story about Tom Kelly, former Twins manager, two-time World Series champion manager, teaching Justin Morneau how to play first base. And the story goes, the first day they went out there, ground ball, Tom Kelly hits Justin Morneau. Justin misses it. And Tom Kelly said to him, I knew you were going to miss that. And Justin's like, how'd you know? He goes, because the grass is wet. And that was the first lesson, is check the condition of the grass. Is the grass wet? The next day they went out and Tom Kelly says to him, notice anything now? And he's like, the grass is wet? No, the flags, they're blowing pretty hard. And any pop-up is going to go over your head, so you better be ready for that. And I just thought that was kind of a cool story, just to think about how these guys at the top level learn to master the game. And as we've seen as fans, so many times things happen that you're like, what, this guy's at the major league level and he didn't know that, or he didn't do that, or he did that. And just getting that, those stories that Justin was telling, very, very fun to hear, very entertaining, very interesting. So I had a great time this past weekend in Target Field. Yeah, we estimated that we spent 28 hours in and around the ballpark over a four-day period. That's awesome. I feel so rejuvenated and looking forward to this week. My son and daughter both got Bo Bichette's autograph. That was awesome. Sportsnet's Arash Madani was so accommodating. It was so awesome. He brought my son a ball when we walked into the stadium the first night, which was great. And I just noticed how he engaged with fans. Anyone that called out his name, he was like right away, hey, yeah. And he was having conversations with people. And I thought that was terrific. And just so many highlights being there and being around the visitors' dugout, being around the Blue Jays' dugout was excellent. So, yeah, I think I'm going to end it there. So follow me at Blue Jays Dad on Twitter. Follow, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast from. And as much as you can retweet and share the links to this podcast, that helps me to reach more listeners. If you think this is a podcast Blue Jays fans should be listening to. Also, I have a phone number. Did you know that you can call in? Now, it is a U.S. phone number, so long distance charges do apply. But the phone number is this. This is for real. USA Jays Dad. USA Jays Dad. Can you believe it? Anyway, if you want to leave me a voicemail, you got a question, something that you want to ask that I can maybe answer on this podcast, I'd love to do that and give you a shout out that way. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks again to Emily for being a returning guest. So awesome. And okay, Blue Jays, let's play ball. Let's get this done. Let's get into the wild card game. And exciting for there to be meaningful baseball here at the end of September for Toronto Blue Jays fans. I just love it. Let's just drink it deep. Doesn't happen every year. We know that. But it's happening right now. And let's enjoy it. All right. Have a great evening. Have a great week, everybody. And even a better week towards the Blue Jays.